Well, I said earlier that today is a threefold Independence Day. And the first celebration that we have today, of course, is a celebration of our nation. 245 years ago today, 56 men were gathered in Philadelphia, and on this day, they approved the final draft of the Declaration of Independence, and then on August 2nd, a month from now, was when they actually had the signing of the Declaration of Independence, which founded us as a nation and separated us formally and entirely from England. And of course, a war had to be fought to accomplish that. Benjamin Rush, who was one of the signers, incidentally, when I was a boy, his house was just down the street from mine, and I always thought it was like a haunted mansion. It wasn't kept up at that time, and I knew that this old dude named Benjamin Rush had lived there. But I enjoyed this week reading more about the life of Benjamin Rush and what an extraordinary person he was, considered by both Thomas Jefferson and John Adams as one of the leading lights of that age. But he later in his life wrote about the day that they signed the Declaration of Independence. And he said this, "The pensive and awful silence which pervaded the house when we were called up one after another." Now, you would think it would be a time of celebration. You would think, here is the founding of this new nation. Here is the signing of the birth certificate. But no, they went up there with this pensive and awful silence, one after the next, to the table of the President of Congress to sign what was believed by many at the time to be our death warrants. That was what occurred on that day of signing. And a great number of these men went on to suffer greatly. They lost their means, their welfare. They were imprisoned. They suffered greatly, and many of them were very involved in the Revolutionary War, in which many suffered tremendously for the sake of liberty. So today we celebrate, as a nation, the fact that we have been given this great trust. And at a time when many are forgetting what this nation stands for, and we're struggling again, as we have in the past, with our sense of identity, we remember this day that we have been freed from tyranny, and it's a celebration of the community life that was purchased at great cost for us as Americans. But today is also another Remembrance Day, another day of celebration, another Independence Day, isn't it? And of course, I'm speaking of the fact that this is the Lord's Day, when he rose again from the dead. And if that isn't independence, if that isn't something to rejoice over, it is the greatest freedom from tyranny, and the tyranny from sin and Satan, eternal tyranny. And as we gather on the Lord's Day, we are celebrating the independence that Jesus fought for us. It wasn't a great army that bought this. It was one man, the God-man, coming into this world to suffer in our place, to do battle with the devil in our place, to rise in victory in our place, and to give us freedom, true freedom, eternal freedom as people. And finally, and thirdly, this is an Independence Day for us here as a local church, because it is a celebration from the freedom and tyranny of this pandemic that we have just gone through. It's a celebration of restored community life. It's a celebration of the life we have together as church, and it's a time of renewal of this life together. The pandemic is still raging in other areas. We are freed from it here through the vaccines, and we rejoice to be able to come out of a time that really fought against everything we are as a church. The gathering, the fellowship, that we have in Jesus Christ, which is central to our mission, has been put to the side for a year and a half, in a sense, and we have had to struggle to maintain some sense of that as a people. And I think we celebrate today because we have come through that by God's grace. It wasn't any individual. It wasn't by our own effort. It was through the grace of Jesus Christ and His love in us that allowed us as a community to pass through one of the most difficult challenges I imagine we have ever faced. We did that through forgiveness. We did that through patience. We did that through reaching out beyond ourselves to others. We did that through giving sacrificially. In many different ways, we were able to come through this time and to be able to be gathered here today again as a community of faith, united in the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'd like to focus on for just a few more minutes today is this joyful renewal of our life as a community and how vital our life as a community is. God created you and me for community. We have been designed by a creator who is community in and of himself. A tri-unity, a trinity of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, dwelling together in perfect love. God is a community of persons of perfect love. And remember, He created us how? In His image and likeness. And part of how we image God is to be communal people, to be people in community together. And God said to the man, "It is not good that you be alone." And His desire for us is that community, fellowship, oneness be restored. Because we know the story and how our separation from God at the very beginning wreaked havoc on our interrelationships as people. And you see that in the story of Genesis right away, how separation came between Adam and Eve in their relationship, and then it was passed down generationally. And throughout the story of the Bible up until the coming of our Lord, we find discord, dissension, violence, and God's heart is grieved by that. And His passion has been always to make a people of love in this world again who will praise Him, who will honor Him, who will image Him. And that is why Jesus came into the world. One of His great desires and longings was to gather His sheep, to bring His fold together, to make us to be a people united in the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit through our being joined to Jesus Christ. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is like the hub of the wheel to which all the spokes connect. And without Him, we are scattered and we're at cross purposes. But God has sent His Son into this world to become a new hub. And through faith, you are taken by God and you are placed again into that perfect place where you become a spoke in the wheel of His people. And the church is God's creation of a new humanity. And it has local form. Some people think, well, I can just be a part of the church by going out into the woods with God alone or by sitting at home. No. The church needs to be tangible. It needs to have local reality. And I'd like to take just a few minutes briefly to think through with you why it's so important that we be community together. Because there is nothing that is more under attack right now than the fellowship of God's people. And statistics bear this out. If you want to look at Pew or Gallup or whomever, you'll see that the attendance of worship, whether it be Christian, Jewish, Muslim, but the attendance in places of worship, up until the year 2000, every decade it remained 70-73% of the population was in a place of worship at least once a month. Over the past 20 years, since 2000, guess what has happened to that number? After decades and decades of remaining the same, in the past 20 years, it has dropped down to from 73-47%. That's what is happening in our world right now. People have no sense of need for gathering together in worship. And, of course, we can blame this on the internet. We can blame this on individualism in our society and the fact that we all want to just sort of live independently and for ourselves and make our own decisions and use our time in the ways we want to use it. We could spend a lot of time analyzing what is happening. The sectionalism, where we're breaking up into various groupings. But a lot of it, we need to confess, is because of what has happened internally to us as the people of God. My failures, all of our failures, as creating this community, this fellowship of love that shines in this world as something totally different from what the world knows. A place where a person can come and experience a welcome and a deep sense of acceptance, and where that fundamental loneliness that sort of dwells in every heart is suddenly captured and enwrapped by the love of God through His people, and where a person is honored and where everyone has a purpose and a gifting, where everyone is able to express themselves and know that they will be heard and forgiven, where we are patient with one another, where we give each other the benefit of the doubt, where we are willing to go through the hard times together and bear through those times. This is not found in the world, but it is found in Jesus Christ. It is found in the love of God. And as I said, we're all being impacted by the fact that the world is telling us we don't need to be in community any longer. We do better to be on our own. It's less of a hassle. We don't have the disagreements. We don't have to invest our time in some structured way. We're free to do what we want to do. All these sort of things. We say to ourselves to excuse the fact that we have forgotten that community, the fellowship of God's people, is the greatest, most beautiful gift that God is about. It is His ultimate purpose for us to be in community together. And we rejoice as a church that we have been committed to this, but the reality is that all of our hearts are impacted by this world around us. And we might be in church every Sunday and not experiencing fellowship. Our church is impacted by all of these things around us. And so we may not be doing our part in creating that community. And then some people are choosing to remain home and to only come periodically, and not realizing what that does to you. You see, God designed us in such a way that we only will grow in community. You can sit at home and read your Bible for hours every day. You can pray. You can do all sorts of things independently. But you will not grow as a Christian if you are not in relationships with the body of Christ in a local church. You just won't. Now, that doesn't mean you definitely will if you're in a local church, because a local church needs to be manifest in the Spirit and the power of the Word. It needs to be functioning as it ought to function. But God's intent is that we be in a local church where the Spirit is at work through the Word, where people are brought into this fellowship together, where they're challenged, where they're serving, where they're being equipped, where they're being discipled. And that is what changes our lives from the inside out. That and that alone will really change you. So if we are not committed to being part of the community and not just coming and sitting on Sunday, but I mean investing ourselves in a substantial way in the mercy, in the mission of the church, in the fellowship of the body, in being discipled, in growing in Christ's likeness, and in worshiping God in spirit and in truth with all your heart, coming ready to give all that you have to God in worship. If we're not doing that, we're not going to grow. Because that is how God grows us. That is how God sanctifies us. And that is how God knits us together and makes us fruitful as community. So in closing today, I just want to encourage us to reinvest ourselves. I want to ask you to think today, how can I invest myself in the body of Christ anew? Not in Tocoa Presbyterian Church, in the body of Christ. We are all members of this body individually. And Jesus wants us to be invested. I know of a woman who is a single woman at another church. And she was going to a church, and she constantly felt like she didn't fit in, like she was alone. And people didn't come and talk to her, so she said one day, I'm going to go and talk to other people. And she transcended her hurt by God's grace through prayer, and she allowed the love of God to fill her heart, and she began to go and to talk to other people. There may be a person that you have a problem with, a person that you really struggle with in the church. Let me say that it is through our relationships with those very people that God intends us to grow. And if we run away and if we separate ourselves from difficult people, we're not going to grow to be the loving community that Jesus wants us to be. It's like that proverbial pearl that is formed by the grain of sand. And there are people that are like that grain of sand to us, and they push all our buttons. But that's the very person for you to pray for and to allow God's love to fill you and to develop not necessarily a deep friendship with, but a spiritual relationship with, where you can go to that person and let that person know of your love for them. And you may need to do that over and over and over again. But think through this week. What is keeping me from a wholehearted investment in Tocoa Presbyterian Church, which is the creation of Jesus, the body of Christ, and God wants to do amazing things in this church? I'm not talking about in the sense of the world's amazing. I'm talking about in the Bible's amazing. Changing hearts, bearing fruit, leading people into the kingdom of God. God wants to do that. He's desirous to renew us. But we need to be all in. And I want to ask you, what's keeping you from possibly being all in, body, mind, spirit? And then I want to ask you to think about, what can I do to honor Jesus, to commit myself to what he has created at great cost, and to enjoy Independence Day forevermore. Let us pray together. Blessed Lord our God, we thank you that a great price through the shedding of your blood, of your eternal Son, you have created the church, and that we are your colony from heaven, here to show the world an entirely new way of living. And Lord, we confess that we fall short of this. And there are many reasons. And Lord, you know how we have just come through this pandemic, and it has unsettled us, it has unseated us. It has caused us to be frustrated, in some cases, impatient, critical at times. It's been a difficulty, Lord, and we've had very different views on all of this, and it's caused some separation amongst us. But Lord, we thank you. We thank you that in our weakness, you have been strong and you have brought us through. And we thank you, Lord, that it is our very weakness. It is in our brokenness as a community that you can really live in our midst and make us to be a people who welcomes others in. We're not here because we're perfect. We're here because we're in need of grace. And we want others to realize that. So Lord, in our weakness, in our imperfection, in our sin today, we come to you and pray that you would renew us in fellowship, very central tenet of our mission as your people. And Lord, we thank you for this gathering today. We thank you for the meal ahead. We thank you for the relationships we have, new and old. And we pray your blessing on this church today and in the coming years to come. We ask it all to the glory of your name. Amen.